It is good to have you with us on a Wednesday in the nation's capital and beyond. Good to have you aboard until 4 o'clock, a full show today. Imagine that. They're making us work the full 3 hours after yesterday's little sojourn, after yesterday's little break in the 3 o'clock hour. We did work until 3:05, to be fair. And then we waddled on our way over to Nationals Park. I saw 6 innings of the Nationals and the Guardians. I saw Jose A. Ferrer get lit up like a Christmas tree. And then the Nationals once again showed some gumption and came back. And then I was off to Capital One Arena, where the Capitals did not show much. Everybody, they did not show much. Thanks to Kevin Sheehan, first of all, for having me on. Appreciate Kev for doing that. And Emily Kaplan, who he had on earlier, who we had on 2 weeks ago after the, well, maybe it was 3 weeks ago now, right after the Ovechkin culmination of the goals chase. And she's been very, very, very tied into the Capitals, a lot of Capitals work, especially over the last month, month and a half. She's great. She does an awesome job. I know people want Joe B. in Locker. That's not – listen, don't take it out on Sean McDonough, Ray Ferraro, and Emily Kaplan. They do a great, great job. Don't take that out on them. That's just the way it works, man. That's league television. That's how they make money. That's how they get money. That's how, quite honestly, they get ratings that aren't easy to obtain. Is exclusive national broadcasts, like last night on ESPN. So don't take it out on Emily, Sean McDonough, and Ray Ferraro. They're really good. I know they're not Joe B. and Locker. I got it. I understand that, but don't take it out on them. So last night, I don't know if I've ever attended, I don't believe I have, a game that was as tilted, as one-sided, as dominated, as controlled as last night was by the Carolina Hurricanes, that went to overtime, that only resulted, obviously, in a one-goal loss. But if they would have won, I would have said the same thing. Yes, they won. I'm happy, thrilled. Woo! Man, they survived. But they played horribly. And that was the real deal. That was the that's as simple as I can make it. And everyone that watched that game, trust me, my timeline is littered with people. Angry. Really bothered by what they saw last night. And listen, I have the unenviable task, as you may have heard at the end of Kevin's show, we're trying to say, you know, he said, are you going to open up your show with this series is over? And no, I'm not going to open up the show and say the series is over, because I've been around long enough to understand that one game in a best of seven is one game. Now, it's important. It's a big concern. If your level of concern on a scale of 1 to 10 was a 6 or 7 going into yesterday, as probably mine was, because I picked Carolina to win yesterday, and I yet picked Washington to win the series in 7, my scale of concern has now gone from a 6 or a 7 to a 9. But it's just one game. No, the series is not over. It's just one game. It's, again, it's an important game. It's an important part of the series. It could be the way the rest of the series turns out. Or it could be a complete wake-up call that the Washington Capitals needed. It also could be, remember yesterday and in the past, why I've been railing against MoneyPuck.com for giving the lowest percentage chance for the Capitals to win the Stanley Cup? And even, was it FanDuel or maybe it was BetMGM, I can't remember, that had the Capitals as, I think, the tied for the second lowest chances to win the Cup in terms of odds. And, you know, I was frustrated with those groups. I thought they were overlooking things. Well, if you watch that game last night, they weren't overlooking anything. They were underselling how bad the Capitals were last night. And yet, they lost 2-1 in overtime on somewhat of a fluky long-distance shot that trickled through and looked live like it was deflected, but it wasn't. They were so bad last night, there is nobody, and I mean nobody, nobody that works for the organization, PR, nobody, no player, no coach, no executive, no owner, no voice, no nothing that could be like, hey, yeah, they played pretty well. They just got an unlucky break, an unlucky bounce, puck luck. No, 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 no. This had nothing to do with puck luck. This had everything to do with the Carolina Hurricanes, who we all knew, or you should have known, were a really, really good team. Second place in the Eastern Conference, 2-2 in the regular season. You know, Carolina beat them in 2019 in the playoffs in a double overtime game, game 7 after the Capitals had that series and had 2-goal leads, and Carolina never came back, and what happened in the last regular season matchup, and just everything that we talked about over the last couple of days, speed, skill, transition, toughness, depth, penalty kill, just everything, right? Everything we talked about with Mike Maniscalco yesterday, their television and radio voice. Everything that we talked about was actually worse for the Capitals last night than any of us could have expected, any of us could have reasonably thought. It never should have been, oh, they can't lose this series or they can't lose this game. They'll take care of business. No, 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 no. That's not the way it works. And it shouldn't work that way. And it didn't work that way. What I had no idea of, and maybe you did, maybe you didn't, you could tell me at 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. What I had no idea of is just how one-sided, just how dominant the Carolina Hurricanes' performance would be in Game 1. That I was not expecting. And yet, here we are, and they won 2-1 in overtime. Now, again, as I pointed out with Kevin, they could have won 2-1, 3-1 in regulation. They hit a couple of posts, whatever. Again, Logan Thompson was great, especially with his glove in the second period, early third. They had a penalty against Jacob Chychrun late in regulation. I have no idea what he was so upset about. I have no idea. I don't know what you want the officials to do. But if the Capitals, who got thoroughly dismantled last night, played their worst game of the series, and that's an if, not a they have, that's an if they played their worst game of the series last night and still only lost 2-1 in overtime, maybe that's the silver lining in the rainbow. Maybe that is what we all have to grab onto. They'll be better tomorrow night because they're going to be more desperate. They'll figure it out. They'll watch tape. They'll study. They'll think about it. They'll self-reflect. They'll play crisper. They'll get out of their zone better. They won't turn the puck over. So many bad clears. They'll be more physical, so on and so forth. They'll finish opportunities at the net, which they did not do last night. Ryan Leonard, again, in overtime, I think that was Nick Dowd, if memory serves me correct. I wrote it down as Nick Dowd. If I'm wrong, I apologize. That's what I thought I saw from way, 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 way up top. The bottom line is, the Capitals did not finish whatever few opportunities they had outside of one, Alexei Protas, which was a great shot, great rush, great transition, so on and so forth. They did not finish. They had a terrible turnover for the game-tying goal to Logan Stankoven. And the game-winning goal was an inability to clear. It wasn't a turnover. It was just an inability to clear And then you get a shot that, again, trickles in, is the best way I could put it, because it wasn't like, oh, the shot just absolutely torched Logan Thompson. No, that wasn't the case. It was from deep, right inside the blue line. Slavin let it go. Bang, bang, boom. Again, it trickled through a couple of bodies. Logan probably couldn't see it. We didn't get to talk to him after the game. They didn't make him available. And he played a great game overall. And you would say, like, neither one of those goals are really his fault. But you can't put him in that position to where he almost has to be perfect. And that's what the Capitals did last night. They put him in a position where he almost had to be perfect. Let me give you some numbers before we take a timeout, and then we'll get to the calls. I see my guy AP is already fired up, as well he should be. The Carolina Hurricanes outshot the Capitals 33-14 in the overtime loss. 33-14. That's a 19-plus shot on goal advantage. It was 12-5 in the first period. In the second period, it was only 8-6. And I thought the Capitals played, you know, a reasonably good 8-9 minutes of the second period, and then it started again to kind of fall apart. In the third period, they outshot them, Carolina did, 11-3. So in two of the three periods, the Capitals had five or less shots on goal in two of the three periods. And the most they had in any period was six, 33-14. That should tell you a lot. That should tell you something. Faceoff percentage advantage to Carolina, 55.6 to 44.4. Nobody scored on the power play. Carolina was 0-3, including the late one. That was really the only good thing for the Capitals last night. The Capitals were 0-2 on the power play as well. Hits. This was a huge one for me. And I asked Spencer Carberry about it after the game. And, you know, I thought he gave me a pretty good answer. He was very, very verklempt last night, very short with the media. Barry Svrluga asked the first question, and it was a one-word answer, and it was dead silence. You could hear a pin drop. And, like, Caps PR was like, that's not the Spencer Carberry we know. What's going on here? Somebody ask a question, or he's just going to walk off. Now, he didn't. He's a professional, but Spencer is not a one-word answer guy. If you know Spencer, he's not a one-word answer guy. So it was like, whoa, 44-31 in terms of registered hits. If the shots on goal difference doesn't tell you what you need to know, that should tell you what you need to know. Here's another one for you. We all know Carolina peppered the Capitals with lots and lots and lots of shots from the get-go. They had the puck. They had puck possession. And I kept saying on Twitter, on X, whatever, I said they are not getting some of their shots through. They're getting knocked down. The Capitals are blocking them, what have you. They're missing. Check this out. Blocked shots, 32 for the Capitals, 9 for Carolina. 32 blocked shots. Imagine if, I don't know, half of those block shots go through, what the score might have been. Imagine that. Giveaways. The Capitals started overtime with 13 giveaways to 10 for Carolina. It wound up 13-12. Carolina actually gave a puck away a couple of times in overtime. The Caps did not. But the Caps could not clear on the final goal sequence, so much so that Carolina dug it out from behind their net, cycled it around, got the shot back to the point, and again, bang. Takeaways. Carolina had 8 takeaways. Washington had 6. Not horrible there. But the bottom line is, when you play as one-sided of a game as that, you're going to be lucky and I mean lucky, to even have a chance to go to overtime. It was that one-sided. If you didn't see the game, if you didn't pay close attention, if you're just a casual Caps fan, if you're just whatever, you don't have to be the smartest or the sharpest tool in the shed to understand how bad of an ass-whooping that was. And yet, they only lost 2-1 in overtime, and they could have won. Again, on that rush, on the Leonard break-in, they had the rush opportunity in overtime. They could have won. And yes, it would have been a different tone today. Oof. Oh, man, they won. Yet they played so bad. But, it, you know, if they could just keep surviving, keep surviving, keep surviving. But they lost. And now because they lost and they were dominated, now panic sets in. 301-230-0980. Some more of my notes coming up from a lost night in more ways than one. For the Washington Capitals, we are the only sports talk show in town, the only place you can talk Caps hockey and get your frustrations off your chest, if you will, is right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Coming up later on in the show, about 2 hours and 15 minutes from now, Commanders 7th-round rookie running back Jakori Kroski-Barrett will join us before 4 o'clock on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, that was Sean McDonough on ESPN last night with the television call, the national television call. Of course, there is no local television once you move past the first round. But Jacob Slavin's game-winning goal, just a couple of minutes into overtime, wins it for the Carolina Hurricanes. And again, the good news is you played as poorly as you, I think, as you could probably play, and you lost 2-1 in overtime. You would think... easy to fix that, right? The problem is it's not easy. Coming up, we'll have a bunch of NFL news, including a big, big, big trade involving two NFL stalwarts that have fallen on tough times. We'll give you the details of that. AMAC and I will mix it up on that and what it all means. I wanted to get this in real quickly before we get to AP. And that is this. look, we talked about the domination of the Carolina Hurricanes, and there's just no other way to mention it. But there's this the NHL, like all the other leagues with AWS Cloud and all the fancy numbers and analytics and whatever, they have this NHL Edge IQ, and it's called an ice tilt analysis. Again, you'll hear coaches talk about, well, the ice was tilted, whatever. So when I saw this from Brant Berglund this morning, Brant_Berglund on X, I was like, interesting to see what the numbers, point out, right? So apparently Carolina's first period, not the third period where they were even more dominant, not the overtime, which they won, the first period, they outshot Washington 12-5. They carried the play. There was like a 2-minute period where the Capitals were okay, and outside of that, they sucked. And if Carolina would have gotten a bunch of those shots through, they could have been down 3-0 instead of nothing-nothing. But Carolina's first period, apparently, since the NHL Edge IQ started doing this, slipped into the playoff time with tilt top 10 among all periods. So, again, since they've been doing this, it was the worst and most tilted period of play in favor of one team in the top 10, the first period for Carolina, okay? And they've got a fancy graph. If you want to see it, again, Brant_Berglund, or just go to my Twitter handle, X, at WrestleMania621. It's up there. But then the number that jumped out to me was a number on the far right of the graph. And they break down period by period, time with tilt, right? And it says time with tilt for the game. And it has Carolina 48 minutes and 26 seconds. 48 minutes and 26 seconds. And Washington with 4 minutes and change, 14 minutes and change. This is, again, a fancy number, analytic, all that stuff. Stop right there. Whatever and however you get to that point, and he explained it for me, and it's a little confusing still, so I want to be careful not to overtalk the audience, but you don't need to be a brain surgeon to figure out that if they have, again, tilted ice, basically one-sided ice, controlled ice, for 48 minutes and 26 seconds of a 65-minute game, that's all you need to know, people. It's all you need to know. The analytics, the data, the numbers, they match what your eyes saw or should have seen. Terrible. Terrible. All right, let's do this. I'll tell you what. AP, Dr. Sabah, Lou, we'll get to you guys right after the break. Got to do a trending alert, and then we'll come right to you so that we don't get that far behind. We told you plenty of NFL news. That's how we'll start right here on a Wednesday afternoon with the trending alert. All right, that big trade that we talked about, well, it's the Dallas Cowboys. It's the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's George Pickens on the move from Pittsburgh to Dallas to join CeeDee Lamb and others. Dak Prescott, of course. And Pickens, the controversial wide receiver, getting dumped out of Pittsburgh after they made an earlier offseason trade for DK Metcalf. All the details, all of the impact, we will discuss in the 2 o'clock hour right here on the team 980. Meanwhile, the Jaguars have released Gabe Davis after he signed a nice deal last offseason and was certainly disappointing. Some of that certainly Trevor Lawrence, but nevertheless, Gabe Davis gone after just 1 year with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Dallas Goedert expected to remain with the Eagles in 2025, according to ESPN. Meanwhile, the hockey story outside of the Capitals is that Utah has named their team the Mammoth, which was expected after a leak last week. That ends a year-long search for the relocated franchise from Arizona that became the Utah Hockey Club last year. Again, fans in multiple rounds of voting, very different than the process that was done here, named the team the Utah Mammoth. Meanwhile, tonight, Florida looks to avoid an 0-2 deficit on the road in Toronto. 7 o'clock face-off in Toronto for the Leafs and the defending Stanley Cup champions. Dallas and Winnipeg, game one of that series, 9:30 after Dallas's heart-stopping win in game 7 over Colorado Saturday and Winnipeg outlasting St. Louis in double overtime on Sunday. And in the NBA playoffs, the Knicks look to take a 2-0 series lead over Boston. First up at 7 o'clock, Denver looks to take a 2-0 lead over Oklahoma City at 9:30, and Steph Curry is going to miss at least a week, say reports, after injuring his hamstring last night in a Golden State win. And that's what's trending. All right, along with AMAC on the other side of the glass, we are the only sports talk show in town right now, talking Caps hockey and a bad game one loss. Or could you look at it as, well, they probably played as bad as they can play, and they still got it to overtime, and they still lost only on a fluky goal? I guess that's the positive way you can look at it. Everything else pretty much was negative, outside of Logan Thompson. But everything else, the turnover on the game-tying goal, listen, Protas, Alexiev, there's all sorts of things that can happen there. Puck gets, then boom, high slot, and Logan Stankoven just rips one past him. Ironically, to the glove side where Thompson was really, really, really good last night. All right, let's get you aboard on the show. Let's get to our guy AP in Fort Meade. AP, the ones are already in the air.
Finally.
Yes.
Chris Russell.
Hi.
Acknowledge me.
I always right. do.
Now, getting that out the way. We looked like a number one seed in hockey that was a little late to the party and just did not play with any urgency. We didn't look hungry. Like, yeah, we had home ice. Our fans were there. Our fans were into it. But for some reason, it just seemed like we were not. Like, watching that game yesterday, I saw a very disinterested bunch. Yeah, Ovi, he made some hits. But the rest of the team, I didn't really see them out there. Our guy, what's our rookie?
Ryan Leonard?
Number nine.
Yeah.
Ryan Leonard, yes. Yep. Oh, my God. Yeah, that shows you how perturbed I am from that game. I'm forgetting names.
I mean,
now.
He had a chance with five and a half minutes left.
He had a chance.
You know?
I will say, he had a chance. You know, the puck kind of got a little, you know, loose on him. He kind of lost it there. Yeah. But, you know, he had a chance, and that probably in a very unorganized effort yesterday could have been the difference in the game if he found a way to control the puck and put it in the back of the
net.
Yep. I will say, again, like, puck possession, we didn't have it. Yep. We did not have it at all. Like,
by the way, Leonard led the team with three shots on goal, just, you know, just for the record, of the 14.
There you have it.
Yeah.
There you have it. Something's wrong with that pitcher. Yeah. If Ryan Leonard is your leading.
Yeah. But AP, you know this because you're a big Caps fan. Puck possession, going back to what you were trying to say, like that has been, as I mentioned with Kevin, and as I've mentioned throughout the year, puck possession and puck control has been a problem for this team all throughout the year, even when they were playing really, really, really good. I remember games in November and December and January, even before things started to fall apart, where puck possession was a thing and a big-time concern for Spencer Carberry, as it should have been.
That, and then just the zone entries. Like, every time we tried to get and make a blue line zone entry, like, they were right there. Carolina was right there.
Yep.
They, like, our passes were not clean. You know, when we're trying to make passes, like, they're getting away from us because we're trying to avoid the forechecks. Like, again, if we're going to win this series, yesterday cannot happen again. Like, we have to be physical. Again, from what taking a page out of what Florida did to them last year, if we're not physical and if we're not forechecking and if we're not the more physical team and if we cannot clear the puck, because that was a major issue for us yesterday, we could not clear the puck. I'm yelling at my TV, clear the puck, clear the puck. Like, they were peppering. And shout out to Logan Thompson because he did everything he could to keep the game where it was. But if we do not clear the puck, if we are not the physical team, we are going to go down 0-2, and then we're going to go to a ruckus Carolina Hurricane Arena and possibly get swept. And that's just my take. Appreciate you.
Gotcha, AP. Thank you. I appreciate the hockey passion and knowledge that AP always has and brings to the table. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Listen, again, I want to be clear that as much as Carolina dominated this game, they only scored two goals, and one of them was off a turnover, and one was kind of a fluky shot from the point. So that's the positive, right? It's not like they ran up a 7 or 8-1 domination. That's not what we're talking about. Could have been worse if they went iron unkind a couple of times. It could have been worse. But again, if that's, you know, if you're a Caps fan, you're holding on to hope that was about as poorly as you could play, and yet you were right there. Meaning right there with a chance to win, because they did have a chance to win. At least one in overtime, certainly again late in regulation, all of that stuff. They didn't have a chance to win realistically and by the way they played, but they did have a chance to win because Logan Thompson kept them in that game and because somehow, some way, they survived the onslaught. And when we say onslaught, it's not like, again, Carolina was just high danger chance after high danger chance after high danger chance, and Logan Thompson was completely standing on his head. That's the wrong impression, at least what I saw. But it was a lot of opportunities and a lot of shot attempts and a lot of throwing the biscuit towards the basket. And yes, Logan Thompson came up with a bunch, and it was a lot of blocks, as we mentioned. How heavy, I mean, if there was one area of the ice that was tilted, it was in that area. But that's in your own zone. You're not blocking shots in the offensive zone. That's the problem. That's not necessarily a good thing. I mean, yes, it's better than let Logan Thompson make 50 saves, but it's not a good thing because that means you're constantly chasing. You're constantly in your defensive zone. 301-230-0980. Let's get to a very victorious and happy Dr. Sabah, who, of course, is well known as a Burgundy and Gold fan because she hates the Commanders, but she is a Carolina Hurricanes fan because she lives in Raleigh. Right, Doc?
Yes, sir. You know, I purposely take my lunch break right during your show so I can call in without, you know, cheating on work. So this is awesome.
That.
I am a big, you know, Redskin fan, of course. And, you know, one thing that I like about being a Hurricanes fan, it is the only thing when we're all in that arena in Raleigh that the Carolina, the Dukes, the States, the Wakes, and the ECUs all get along. We're all on the same page. There's no other team that we're all behind because normally we hate each other. So that's one good thing that hockey does.
It's a fair point.
Kind of brings everybody together.
It's a fair point.
Yeah, and it's the only time NC State can see anybody win in that arena because, you know, they play there and they never win. So that's my little dig at the Wolfpack.
I mean, they did make it to the Final Four last year, a year ago.
Yeah, and then their coach fired next year and they didn't make the tournament. That's who NC State is.
Yes.
But anyhow, let's get to the hockey. So I was scared to death watching the thing. I don't see the domination that you saw. I saw us doing a lot of shooting, like almost like we were blindfolded, and let's just keep shooting and see what happens. And it hit the that crossbar, whatever, like two or three times. I was like, oh, my God, we should have had. And then you guys even hit one that should have been a goal, you know. So, and the fact that you think we dominated, I think we definitely have more ice time on our side on offense. But I think y'all's strategy to hit us and rough it up, because, you know, you're not good enough, like I told you before, skill-wise. I think we skate so fast, you couldn't get us.
That is part of the problem, right?
Right.
I mean, when the
right.
other team has puck possession, and how many times just did I, and I know I'm not the only one, mention Carolina's speed and transition, because that is what Carolina has built their team on for the last 6 years. Speed and transition, and it started in 2019, and I saw it in front of my own eyes, and then I saw it in the playoffs, and it's never stopped.
Yeah.
But they're also deep, and they also are gritty. They're not like a super soft, highly skilled, fast team that you can just do whatever you want with if you take them off the puck and take them off the game, because they don't let you take them off the puck a lot of times.
Right, and Aho, number 20, he's normally really good. He was horrible last night. He couldn't catch a pass, and every time he tried to shoot, it was like kind of not really there. And so if he plays better, I think we have a really good chance of winning this series. And another thing, your goalie, he's amazing. I forget his name. Dang it.
Logan Thompson.
That's it. Sorry. Okay. Yeah, he's really good. I mean, we had a lot of shots. And one thing I noticed now, again, I'm not a big hockey person, on your guys when y'all play defense, I noticed that you guys don't really attack the guy with the puck as much as you sit back and you literally have a whole lot of people right in front of your goalie.
Mm-hmm.
Did I missee that? Because it was really hard to get any of the puck through 18 people sitting in the way.
I mean, I think.
Oh my God!
I think you're seeing a lot of the right thing. They are more of a, I don't want to say only a, but they'll.
You know, like they want to get the rebound. In other words, don't worry
about
the shot. Just
right.
The
they're trying to pack it in a little bit. Exactly.
Right.
They're trying to pack it in a little bit. A, to knock down shots. B, to, like you said, keep the crease right in front of the goaltender clear, and more importantly, again, to grab some of those rebounds. Now, that's great, and they did knock down a lot of shots, and they did block a lot of shots. The problem is by playing kind of sagging, if you will, or soft, they, A,
like a zone.
Allow a lot of shot attempts, one. Two, they can't get the puck cleared and they can't get possession a lot of times. And then they'll turn the puck over. And it's just kind of like this vicious cycle. So if we talk about like what has to change for game two from a Caps perspective, you just mentioned Sebastian Aho for the Carolina Hurricanes and how he has to play better. And of course, Freddie Anderson has to stay healthy, so on and so forth. Yes. For the Capitals, what has to happen is if they play essentially a conservative game and just say, well, we're going to pack it in, we're going to block shots, we're going to knock down shots, we're going to alter shots, they're not going to get close in, slam home, rebound up. That's all great. But if it doesn't lead to
score,
if it if it doesn't lead to you getting puck possession, if it doesn't lead to
you
going to
score, if y'all
exactly
do that, you can't score without.
Well, it's not just scoring; it's getting out of your zone.
You got to get
out of your zone. You know, forget scoring; you got to get out of your zone. And there were times. I mean, I counted unofficially. There was like a stretch of like 2.5 minutes in the third period where they just literally were in their zone the entire time.
You guys didn't have a shot for a 15-minute period, I think, like real clock time, not game clock or something like that. And I feel like we're Grady Soil and Turf. We remind me of the Rams, where, you know, we're just so fast and speedy, and then it took the Patriots to do what? Grab the receivers and disrupt the timing. So you guys are going to have to do that kind of thing if you, again, can catch us. But anyway, I'm loving it. We'll see what happens. It is 7 games, so I'm still worried. But I hope my game, and I'm going there on Monday. I'll be there game 4. I'm hoping that might be a closeout, but I doubt it.
Hey, Doc.
It's going to be 7 games. Probably.
Doc.
Yes, sir.
You know we love you.
Yes, sir.
We can't have you just, like, rubbing it in and making it worse.
Well, no, because I'm telling you, I thought we were going to lose. When they had that breakaway goal,
know,
like, oh, my God,
it's over.
Just
teasing. I'm just teasing.
Okay.
I'm just,
you know, I
I'm
love you guys,
teasing.
But I want y'all not to win, of course. But I wouldn't mind it to be a good series. But it is nice for me to be there at the closeout game, so that would be nice.
Thank you, Doc.
Thanks,
appreciate,
man. Appreciate you.
All right. Talk to you soon. All right. We got to take a timeout. We'll get back to Lou and you at 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. We got a bunch of the usual suspects aboard. Want to get you, all you Caps fans out there, this is your only place in Washington, D.C. right now as we speak, to talk Caps hockey. We're giving you the forum. We're giving you the time. You should be a little upset, if not more than a little upset. I heard from a bunch of you. I want to talk to you at 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. What do the Caps have to do, besides, duh, the obvious, play better, to get this series even at 1-1? I've got some ideas. I've shared some of them, but I want to dig down a little bit more as we go along here on a Wednesday afternoon on the Team.80 and the Odyssey app.
But hey, as they say in hockey, let's do that hockey.
Oh, let's do that hockey, baby. They were doing that hockey, and then the hockey did the Caps. Sean McDonough, ESPN, with the call on Alexei Protas's go-ahead goal, 1-0. Up the right wing, middle of the second period. Thought the Caps, okay, they really need another one here. And sure, it was, you know what, they did. But they hung on for a while to that 1-goal lead. And then, well, you know, they did that hockey. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Let's get to Lou in D.C. here. Squeeze him in here before the top of the hour. What up, Lou? How are you?
I'm good. What's happening, Chris?
What's going on, Lou?
I want to give a shout-out to my guy, Little, man. Shout-out to Little. Hopefully, I want him to call and give us some, prep talk for the next game on Thursday, man, because I'm feeling kind of down, man. I just, you know, it's hard to try to, I just don't see this team. Like I told you yesterday, they just don't, I just don't see them, First and foremost, let me just say this. Ovi, as a captain, you got to lead by example, man. You can't be skating around like lazy, waiting for, the puck to come to you and get a shot, man. I don't know if he had a shot yesterday. I know he had a shot, but I think Tom Wilson broke a stick. But other than that, he had one shot on goal.
One shot on goal.
Yeah, but as a captain, man, you got to lead by example. And it's just, I just didn't see him, skating out there. I don't know. I just you know, he need to step up. And, you know, if you're a captain, you know, that's how, you know, I love what Sidney Crosby has done for that organization. And he's still doing it, you know, even though his team is out of playoff and, you know, they in the offseason. But that guy is amazing. But Ovi, I mean, you know, there's a reason why you only want one cup, because, you know, he just want to come to, you know, I don't know. It's just, it's to me, he need to step it up. And wearing that seat, it means a lot. And you need to lead by example with these guys and show them. I think Tom Wilson deserved to wear that captain, to be honest. But, yeah, he just need to step up. And Logan Thomas, Thompson, I mean, he without him, I think, you know, it's like, you know, the score would have been like 10-0, maybe 10-1, whatever the score would have been. But, you know, they just a little too slow, and they just don't have that fight in them like we saw in 2018. So I'm gonna give them one more game tomorrow.
I don't know if it's that they don't have the fight, but I do think your point, and it's not gonna be a popular one, about Alex. You know, there's some times where Alex Ovechkin, over his career, has been hard to find in the playoffs. Sometimes, not all the time. Right. Sometimes, and last night was one of those times. He was a non-factor.
Right. Yeah. If you're wearing that cap down, you just can't be out there just skating around. And I know he had a couple of hits, but come on, you got to try to find a way, you know, energize the team. And whether,
also,
you know,
took a penalty on a slash, you know. So, yeah, it was not a good game. I mean, he had the two hits, and he had two giveaways, and he had the two-minute minor, and he had one shot on goal. Just not enough. Lou, I appreciate you. I got to run for the top of the hour, but good to hear from you, as always. We'll get to Alex in Atlanta on the other side of 2 o'clock, 301-230-0980. We're going to start migrating towards the NFL because we have to listen to some of what Adam Peters said on Pat McAfee's show yesterday. Don't forget, at the end of the show, or towards the end of the show, Jacory Kroski Merritt, the seventh-round running back rookie, will join us on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.